The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
This week, October 19th to the 25th, is Heartburn Awareness Week. And yesterday, it was revealed that more than one third of the Irish population are living with heartburn. Unfortunately, for those living with the condition, one in five confirmed that their heartburn has worsened since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the reasons cited for this include COVID-19 related stress, increased snacking, and work-related stress as well. If you're experiencing symptoms of heartburn, we encourage you to visit your local pharmacist to get it under control. And to talk about this, Ireland Munster and Kerry legend Mick Galloway is with us. How are you getting on, Mick?
I'm great. Sure, thank you. I'm very good.
Is heartburn something you suffer with?
Yeah, it is something I've suffered for a while. And, you know, there was a time maybe, foolishly, I ignored it for a long time. But then, you know, I just got to my doctor group, got to my pharmacist, and they just put me on the right medication, and I'm a different man since. You know what I mean? It's and again, like as you said, the triggers that I had were spicy food or coffee, or again, can be stress related or whatever. But you know, when it's keeping you up at night, I decided I had to do something about it, and thankfully, you know, and I would really encourage people, just if they do have those symptoms, it's an easy fix. So go see your pharmacist or doctor and get the advice, because it's there.
Did you have any mild version of it during your playing days at all?
I didn't really. Right. You know what I mean? I probably not really during my playing days. It's probably after. You know what I mean? And I suppose in my playing days, and I look back on it, like, you know, I could eat as much as I wanted. And you know what I mean? And you know, like you're burning it off. And I was obviously, you know, a bit bigger than, and maybe, well, certainly bigger in and more muscle. But what I found that then when I was maybe not doing as much exercise, and, you know, that kind of brought it on as well. But no, certainly it was only really when I finished playing that it started to come against me. But it's like I'm a different man now, you know what I mean? Just getting something as a bit of medication is all you need, and it's out there, you know what I mean? So I would seriously encourage people to get it looked at if they're having the symptoms.
It definitely feels that this year has allowed people to look after themselves a little bit more, or probably forced people to look after themselves a little bit more over a range of things. If heartburn is almost a way for people to start thinking about their body a bit more, then that can only be a positive thing for a whole range of reasons, Mick.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? This whole, I suppose, with the pandemic and people being at home, I think it's been a time of reflection maybe. You know what I mean? Yeah. People give them a chance to maybe just, you know, have a look at what's important in life. And you know what I mean? And health is obviously very important. We've seen what we're going through at the moment with COVID-19. But certainly, you know, we have to take the precautions there, of course. But, you know, I think we should look at all our health issues, and particularly something like heartburn, because, you know, something like that can really, it can put you under a lot of pressure, and as I said earlier, there was nights I couldn't sleep, and you know what I mean, and that doesn't go well, and then it affects your day, and you know what I mean. But thankfully, I have it under control now.
And with those sleepless nights, like, is there anything you can do in the middle of the night to get back to sleep, or how bad does it get?
There isn't really, but like, but what you'd find is that you'd be up and walking around, because you know when you're lying down, sometimes the pressure would actually feel bad, and then you'd have a kind of tightness in your chest, and that's some of the symptoms, and you're wondering what's going on here. But you know, but thankfully it was just something as heartburn. You know what I mean? And you know, you often hear people saying, oh, heartburn can be the sign of something else or heart issues, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? And thankfully it wasn't. So it was just the heartburn, and get it sorted. It's an acid that comes up, and it's very uncomfortable, but it's very fixable as well.
That is good to hear. It's an interesting time, I'd say, a fun enough time for you as a sports fan at the moment. Mick, obviously, your two passions colliding brilliantly over the last few days. You got GAA from Kerry coming back to the centre stage last weekend, the Six Nations, and of course, you've had Munster in action over the last few months as well. Can I just ask you about the GAA? Is it something that you pay very close attention to? You're constantly looking to see how Kerry are faring and watching all of their matches?
Absolutely. And I'm living in Kilkenny now, so you know, you're going from one hotbed of GAA. I'm here 25 years, and I'm I won't call myself an expert in hurling, but I know a fair bit about it. Let's put it that way. But I follow obviously the Gaelic football, and it was great to see Kerry do well at the weekend. But I felt sorry for the Kerry hurlers yesterday, for example. You know what I mean? I would love to have seen them obviously beat Antrim, and you know they were down by 3 points. But I would obviously my native Kerry playing in Nolan Park against Kilkenny. I think that would be one of my dreams if I could see that. You know what I mean? Because you know, we all know how good Kilkenny are. You know, Kerry aren't bad either. You know, they've got a few decent players. Jane Conway is an amazing player. You know, I followed Jay the whole time. And it's amazing, even with the middle of all this COVID, with four Kerry teams playing over the weekend, you know, you had two hurling teams. Unfortunately, they were both beaten. The minors are beaten as well by Tipperary. It's their first time being in the minor championship for a long time. And unfortunately, our under-20s were beaten by Galway. But, you know, that's the way it is. But I suppose the big one really is our senior team. And they looked to be very impressive on Saturday up in Monaghan. And, you know, hopefully if this championship keeps going, and I'm certainly hoping it will, you know, we could have sport right up to Christmas, because I think, you know, particularly, you know, and I know there's a lot of, I suppose, there's different opinions out there, you know, but I mean, but sport is very important, you know what I mean? And sport, once it's ran well, and all the precautions and safety is put in, I don't think it should be a problem.
Can I ask, when you're watching a game of football, what type of footballer do you like to watch? What position, what style of player do you like seeing?
Yeah, you see, my football would be the football of the, I suppose, of the 80s, really. You know what I mean? And again, I was lucky enough to be involved with Kerry.
The 80s spells silky, stylish football. That's what it says to me.
It certainly is. And what I liked about that football was attack. You know what I mean? Which was great. I know that the game has changed and you have blanket defenses now and it's more tactical. But what I loved about the game back in the 80s was it's just the natural flair and skill. You know what I mean? And do you know what I saw recently? And I talked with my own girls were playing in a ladies football match recently. It was like Kilkenny City were playing Thomastown. It was a final and they won. But I just thought the standard of football and ladies, they just go all out attack. There's no such thing as blanket defence. Players kind of stay in their own positions, you know what I mean? They're not roaming around the place. But I just thought it was lovely football. But certainly, yeah, what kind of football do we look for? Look, you know, obviously, when I look at, some of the Kerry lads, you know what I mean? David Clifford, like, you know, what you see in him is pure class, you know what I mean? I just think that, you know, what he has achieved so far in a Kerry jersey has been phenomenal. And, you know, people are comparing him to Maurice Fitzgerald and the Gooch and Mikey Sheehy and John Egan and all these great, and the Bomber even for that matter, all these great forwards of the past. But certainly he's up there with the best. And what I like about him, he's got a great temperament, you know what I mean? And that's the kind of player I like, you know what I mean? And, you know, David Moran has been phenomenal for Kerry down through the years. His consistency has been great. He's a bit of old school, and yet he has got the skill set and certainly the fitness to play as a modern day midfielder, because he's been there for a while, and you know he's still a very important part of what Kerry are doing. And then you look at someone like, you know, I go back to my day, I thought in my book one of the most natural footballers ever was Seamus Minehan. You know what I mean? I know he's gone on a while and a lot of people mightn't have seen it, but it's only watching one of those many hundreds of replays I've seen during COVID. That's the good thing about COVID. We saw plenty of replays. But I saw him, I think it was in the 2000 final. James Mine, I thought he was phenomenal. And he had what? He had natural football. He had skill. He had a brain. He had everything. You know what I mean? And I think if modern day footballers, if they look at that and they, you know, yeah, sometimes fellas can get caught up with maybe strength conditioning or diet or whatever. You know what I mean? But it's the natural football is great to watch, and I can watch it forever.
You were a footballer who made it to the very highest level in rugby. Who is the current modern footballer who would have the best chance of making it to the highest level in rugby today?
Yeah, it's a good question. Someone like someone like Aidan O'Shea would certainly have the physicality for it. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about that. And you know, and I've seen him, and I'm thinking, well, you know, where would you play him? You could play him in the centre. You know what I mean? But he is, as we would say, he's a big unit, and he'd be able to look after himself. You know what I mean? And yet, you know, there's so many, you know, there's so many positions, and in rugby now, it's certainly, I suppose, particularly when you're playing in the backs or whatever, it's the skill set is huge. But I would certainly think that again, someone like David Clifford would make a very good rugby player. Where to play him, not too sure, but you know what I mean. You know, I wouldn't like to be marking one on one on the wing, because he has a dummy that, you know, when you can send a fella a dummy in Gaelic football, it's I'm not saying it's easier in rugby, but you have more opportunities to do it in rugby, you know.
There was some talk after the World Cup that we should be tapping a little bit more into the vast GAA resources we have in this country. Do you think that's something that the IRFU should actively try to do, to see these fantastic young athletes that often when they make it in professional sport, it's going all the way to Australia and the resources lost to the country as a whole?
Absolutely. And you know, and look, I've seen players down through the years, and I've seen modern day players, and you're thinking, wow, wouldn't they make fantastic rugby players? And indeed in both football and hurling, you look at the great hurlers, like, and they're all able to mix it. They've all got talent. Someone like TJ Reid, I'm sure he'd make an unbelievable hurler. You know what I mean? But certainly something that the IRFU should look at, because we're a country the same size as New Zealand. You know what I mean? And they don't have Gaelic football and they don't have hurling. You know what I mean? But they have phenomenal players. And yet, before the last World Cup, I think rugby would be probably our fourth sport. We're number one in the world statistically. Anyway, that was before it. But of course, the only time to be number one in the world is after the Rugby World Cup. But unfortunately, that didn't work out. But we've so much raw talent, and I know that a lot of rugby players, but particularly some of the lads in Kerry that I know, where they love the rugby and they love to give it a go. You know, so there should be opportunities there for them. What you find is, I suppose, a lot of these young lads, like, they go through. They're involved in Gaelic football, and sometimes and in schools and that. So, you know, it's hard for them to do everything. But I certainly benefit from playing Gaelic football. There's no doubt about that. I only took up rugby by chance, and then I realised it was for me. You know what I mean? But there's so many other players that I'd love to see them get that opportunity, and I'd encourage players. You know what I mean? Try all sports. I even played a lot of basketball when I was younger, and it certainly stood to me. You know what I mean? So, because there's different skill sets for all different games, and you know, I think they all complement each other.
When you say you decided that rugby was for you, how difficult a decision was that? And I guess, would it have been a tougher decision to make had you been 5 years older and you were winning maybe one or two more All-Irelands with Kerry?
Yeah, it was. You see, in some ways, I won't say it was an easy decision for me, because I was blessed to have been involved with Kerry in 1986 as a 19-year-old. And, you know, we won the All-Ireland. And I had, at that stage, I had played with Shannon, and I'd played Munster in the 20s. So, you know, I got the taste for the rugby, even though I was only playing it for 2 years at that stage. It didn't take up rugby until I was 17. But, then, like in 87, I played for the Munster senior team. You know what I mean? You know, rugby team. So, I suppose if I was part of a Kerry team that I could see another four or five All Ireland, then it might have been a harder decision. As I said, you know, when I finished rugby, Kerry didn't win another All Ireland for 11 years. You know, I doubt if I would have made any difference. By the time Kerry won the next All Ireland, I was a professional rugby player. You know what I mean? I had gone through the whole lot of amateur playing, and so I was a professional sports person. But certainly, I don't think, you know, Cork were coming good, Meath were coming good, the Northern teams were coming good. So, I would have loved to. I'd love to have played a bit more, and I did for a few years. You know what I mean? I played, let's say, league matches, and sometimes, like, I remember, like, playing. you know, even county championship down in Kerry. I remember playing for Munster on a Saturday and playing a county final on a Sunday. You know what I mean? And just like, it just doesn't happen that we won. Well, we won the county final. I think we were beaten in the rugby match the previous year. We were playing London Counties, you know, which was a combination of Saracens, Wasps and Harlequins. So that was a pretty good team. You know what I mean? But funny enough, I captained Kerry the final year, the first round of the championship against Limerick. That was 89. So that's something I was very proud of. But, you know, I had a 100% record. We beat Limerick, but I was dropped anyway for the next match. But what I also did the same year, and like I think back on it now, and it's madness. I played against the All Blacks 5 months later for Munster, like, you know what I mean? So when I think of that now, I'm actually very proud of it. Like, you know, who captains our county in the championship and plays against the All Blacks in the same year? I doubt very much that'll be repeated. No, I might be wrong, but I'll put a challenge up to anybody. Let's put it that way.
89, so that's Mickle's last year, isn't it?
That's Mickle's last year, yeah.
Does he try and have a word at all, or is he kind of the opinion that it is his last year and maybe he doesn't try as hard to win you over for the Kerry football side of things?
Yeah, I don't know really. And although Mikko, yeah, I had a great relationship with Mikko, you know. Like, Mikko asked me out straight one time, you know, are you going to stay at the rugby or do the football? And I said, I'd probably go back to a bit of rugby. And he said, you should. There's more money, it says Mikko, even though there was nothing at the time. But funny enough, I remember in 93, Ogie Morden was Kerry trainer. And I'd been dropped off the Irish team. And then I actually went into one training session in Tralee. And then I was brought back into the Irish team. And that's the time I got to try against England. And then I was picked in the Lions tour. You know what I mean? Mm. But my intention that time was to go back and give Kerry a handout, or probably Ogie more than thing. You know what I mean? But then I was picked on the Lions tour and I was gone for 10 weeks. So, you know, that's the way it was. But look, I've always had to grow up for Gaelic football. There's no doubt about that.
And can I just ask then, I guess in the late 80s, the idea of professionalism is surely becoming quite real in rugby at that point. Does that affect your decision-making at all?
It didn't really, you know what I mean? It didn't, because I suppose what I really wanted to do is I wanted to play for Ireland and I wanted to play for Munster. And, you know, I saw the path there. I was playing with Shannon, you know, and back then the All-Ireland League was kicking off. And, you know, it was just becoming, there was more opportunities in rugby. You know what I mean? Like, I was going on tour and I was, you know, and particularly when you get involved in Irish squads, like, it was amazing. And, you know, even though I wasn't professional, but it was certainly something different that I had ever seen in Gaelic. It was like every weekend was an All-Ireland weekend. You know what I mean? That kind of a thing. So it was, you know, going like back in the day when we'd be going to Dublin, you know, for the squad sessions and that. It was great. It was tough, but it was great to be part of it. And I just seemed to enjoy it and I liked it. And but then again, of course, you know, I was nearly 30 years of age. I was 29 when the game went professional, and people were thinking, you know, is this going to be the end or whatever? But I remember I got 7 1-year contracts off the RFU, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they'd given me a 3-year contract, maybe first day out, I might have thrown in the towel, but I was playing for my life, you know what I mean? So every year they renewed my contract, you know what I mean? But some of the younger lads were getting 3- and 4-year contracts, but you know, it was the best thing that ever happened because it kept you on your toes and kept you going. And yeah, money didn't make any difference to you when you were playing the game, but it certainly, when it's your job, you actually do it better. You know what I mean? That's the only thing I'd say. But it doesn't determine, it doesn't make you go out and try harder, but you certainly will make more sacrifices and you know, and put in the hours and put in the hard work that it has to be a professional sports person.
For sure. I guess the allure of, it's not just the professionalism, the allure of that 93 tour to New Zealand, wasn't it? Like, I mean, with all due respect to the Munster Championship, it probably beats going to the Gaelic grounds to play Limerick on a summer day. And we should talk about this weekend, the Six Nations coming back, Mick. I guess pre-pandemic, the Six Nations in Ireland left on a sour note, that tough defeat in Twickenham. What are you hoping to see from Ireland over these next few weeks?
I'm certainly hoping to see, you know, we've seen a lot of the players on view up to now, and obviously a bit with their provinces, and they've certainly done well. You know what I mean? Okay, it was disappointing to see Leinster probably go to the Heineken Cup and that, but there's certainly some young, good, raw talent coming through. Against Italy next Saturday, please God, to go ahead. I'm looking for a performance. You know what I mean? I'd like to see a good performance, and because if we're going to Paris the following weekend, we need to, I suppose, stand up and be counted, because we have, as I said, we have the raw material, we have the players. It's just a matter of getting the whole thing put together now. And I know there's a number of injuries, which is a shame, but you know, a new style of play, maybe, you know what I mean? Something a little bit different. I know that we saw a bit during the early stages of the Six Nations, because, you know, tis Andy Farlow that's in charge, and you know, George Schmidt is gone. I'd just like to see something different, you know what I mean? And hopefully, you know, they've had plenty of time to think about it, maybe. I know that the provinces hadn't really been tested until probably Saracens came along, you know what I mean? So, but that's where we need to get to that stage. Like, watching the Heineken Cup final there on Saturday, like, it's a full-on physical game now, and we need to be up to that. You know what I mean? It's one thing to have the skills, but we need to be mentally and physically prepared to go to Paris. You know, not disrespecting Italy, but we should be beating them, and beating them well. You know what I mean? And then we need to get momentum for Paris, because you know, these French sides are you know, they're looking good, and they'll certainly be a big challenge over there.
When you mentioned that Saracens game and how that Leinster pack were defeated quite a bit in that first half, how do you fix that, and how relevant is that performance to what Ireland will do over the next little while?
Yeah, that was certainly a physical game. It's a mental attitude. It's a mental thing as well as being a physical thing. And I suppose Leinster, you know, they'd won 25 games in a row or something like that. You know what I mean? So that doesn't help you in some ways, but what those players will certainly have learned from is you learn a lot more in a defeat than you learn when you win. You know what I mean? And certainly they'll know they're going to have to go up a few cogs. I know that there was some great games with Munster, Leinster, Connacht. You know, there was some great games there, but it is the next level. You know what I mean? That's where they're going to have to be at. You know, you look at the likes of maybe James Ryan coming back into it. He certainly wasn't. He wasn't match hardened. A lot of them weren't match hardened, and they'll certainly benefit from it. And let's hope that they'll take that, I suppose, take that defeat, turn it into a positive, and make sure that they're ready for what's going to be very physical against both Italy, because Italy will turn up as well, and France, but particularly in Paris. And that's what I want to see. I want to see just to be able to perform, hold our own, and not to be out-muscled or out-taught. I think that's the one dread I would have.
Are we too nice sometimes, Mick?
I think we are. I think we are, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, you look at the All Blacks, and you look at the South Africans, like, they play on the edge, and they've got this hard physical, I suppose, demeanour about them. You know what I mean? And sometimes maybe we need to bring that to the table. You know what I mean? Look, it's something that I always had to do, because, you know, what I lacked in probably natural skill or height or whatever, you kind of made up for it in other things. And sometimes when players maybe are they've all the skills, but they need to bring the, as Paddy Shea used to say, the bit of steel is what we need to bring to the table. You know what I mean? And you can't beat that. You know what I mean? That little bit of temperament or steel, as let's call it, can be the difference of turning up and intimidating the opposition, or turning up and being intimidated. You know what I mean? And rugby is, yes, it's still a physical, mental, hard game, and you have to turn up every day, particularly on the big days, and particularly in a Six Nations, and more importantly in Paris. I went to Paris for years and we got bullied, we got beaten, and I'm thinking, will we ever get out of this place? And I must say, like back in 2000, the day Brian O'Driscoll got the three tries, you know, it's one of my best feelings because we've gone full circle. It was about 3 years of professionalism, but we were fit enough now and we were strong enough now. And I know it's a different game now, it's 20 years ago, oh my God, it's hard to even think of that. But the French are coming back. There was a time that they just, I suppose, their natural flair and the whole lot, you know what I mean? But the game has changed, but certainly we'll have to be at our best to finish with two wins in the Six Nations will be massive. You know what I mean? It will be massive for us. I know mathematically we can still win it, but you know, I don't think that'll happen because England will have Italy, but it's certainly the performances I'm looking for, you know, and a performance really is about two wins, you know.
And can I just ask finally then, like, is there a way of finding that steel that Paddy O'Shea would mention? Like, the dog is what Brian O'Driscoll referred to it earlier this year.
Same gig. There is, you know what I mean? Like, if you watch the South Africans, they do it every time, you know what I mean? It's borderline sometimes, but they have got this attitude that they're going out and they're going to just win their battles, win the 50-50, you know what I mean? Make sure that every 50-50 is in your favour, and maybe even turn the 60-40s into your favour. And that's what wins games, you know what I mean? And it's full on, it's physical. We saw again at the weekend at the Heineken Cup, you know, this game is getting more physical, it's getting more tactical, and yet, you know, you still have all the skill set, you still need all the skill set to do that. So I'd certainly like, look, 2 years ago when we won the Grand Slam in England, like we had all those attributes, you know what I mean? And players don't lose that, but it's a mindset, and it's certainly it's a leader thing, you know what I mean? Like, we need to see players stand up and be counted and be natural leaders, because all good teams have natural leaders, and the more leaders you have, the more decisions and the more, I suppose, the more influence you can have on a game, you know? Like, you look down at it and say, for example, Leinster, they've been so successful over the last number of years. There are so many leaders on the pitch, and you know, and that's what makes great teams, I think. You have fellas that'll be accountable and be there to make decisions and do stuff, and not just to leave it to the captains or the coaches or whoever, you know what I mean? And that's particularly in rugby, and particularly in the modern game, you have to have plenty of leaders on the pitch.
Yeah, without question. Just a reminder, this interview has been to mark Heartburn Awareness Week, and a reminder as well that if you're experiencing any of the symptoms of heartburn, do visit your local pharmacist. Mick Galway, it's been great catching up. Great to see you're doing well. Enjoy the rugby and the GAA over the next couple of weeks. Thanks, William.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.